Please be seated. Welcome again to the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is an awesome God that we get to come together and offer praises to Him and hear a message from Him. On a personal note, thank you for having me here to open up the Word before you. Although I haven't seen many of you in a while, I know many of you and share last names with some of you. And it's a pleasure to open up God's Word before you today. So turn with me now to the book of Ezekiel. And we'll be looking at chapter 12, verses 17 through 20. Ezekiel is a prophet, a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah, and where Jeremiah was prophesying in Jerusalem itself, Ezekiel was in exile, taken in the second deportation to Babylon, and he was prophesying to the exiles in Babylon. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard, and here is Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 17 through 20. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with trembling, and drink your water with quivering and anxiety. Then say to the people of the land, Thus says the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the land of Israel. They will eat their bread with anxiety, and drink their water with horror, because their land will be stripped of its fullness on account of the violence of all who live in it. The inhabited cities will be laid waste, and the land will be a desolation. So you will know that I am the Lord. As we start out this morning, I would like you to imagine that you're in the path of a wildfire. You can look out at night and see the orange glow on the horizon. You can smell the smoke in the air, its noxious fumes. You can hear the crackling of the flames as they devour everything around you. You can feel their heat. And there seems to be no escape. Now, in this situation, would you be able to eat and drink in peace? My guess would be that far from it, food and drink would be the last thing on your mind. You would be consumed with the desire to leave that situation, to escape, and to be saved from this impending doom. In this, in a sense, is the message that Ezekiel has for the exiles in Babylon concerning those remaining in Jerusalem. See, those in Jerusalem thought that they had escaped God's judgment. After all, others had been taken away, they were left. And the leaders were telling people, don't worry, you'll be fine. You're God's choice people. Nothing will happen to you. And news of this reached the exiles in Babylon. And Ezekiel is here telling them, no, in fact, they had not escaped God's judgment. It was still to come, and it was impending upon them. And the message for the people then was simply to trust the Lord. If they had trusted the Lord, God would have relented. And the message that we can take from this text this morning is for us to also trust the Lord, to trust Jesus Christ as Lord, and you will have peace and escape His coming wrath. Again, it is to trust Jesus Christ as Lord, and you will have peace and escape His coming judgment. But as we begin to look at this text, the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what does Ezekiel mean by trembling and anxiety, to eat his bread with trembling and to drink his water with anxiety? When we think of these words in English, trembling and anxiety, specifically trembling, it brings to mind more of a nervousness, maybe before giving a speech, or a nervousness as you stand in line waiting for a roller coaster, and you feel weak in the knees, you tremble a little bit, you're nervous. Or anxiety brings about merely a worry, an apprehension about something. But the words in the Hebrew here go far deeper than that. The word trembling here, instead of thinking of a nervousness where you feel your knees quivering, it's more of like a grand mal seizure. And when I was in EMT training, emergency medical technician training, my instructor told us about a call he went on where there was a young couple. The wife had one of these grand mal seizures, and they called for help. The wife was maybe 5 feet tall, and her husband was 6'4", more than twice her size. And when he got there, they were in the living room on the floor, and to keep her safe, the husband thought he should try to keep her from flailing about, and he was on top of her. And she was calm at this time. But as soon as they walked into the room, my instructor walked in the room, she had another attack. And this small woman, barely 5 feet tall, less than half the size of her husband, sent her husband flying through the air across the room into the bookshelf. That is the type of aggressive, violent, convulsing that Ezekiel is talking about here. Not a mere nervousness, but a violent convulsion. And this anxiety is not a mere worry. It is a deep, dark fear. So we have these pictures of violent trembling. This word is also used to reference men going into battle shaking their spears, or to reference an earthquake, or the earth's response to the presence or merely the voice of the Lord. It's a violent quaking. But why is Ezekiel saying this to the exiles in Babylon? Aren't they already in exile? Haven't they already suffered at the hands of their oppressors? Well, if you look back to the chapter before, chapter 11, and look at verses 2 through 4. Here the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he said to me, verse 2, "Son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give evil advice in this city, who say the time is not near to build houses. This city is the pot, and we are the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them, son of man, prophesy." And what these verses are talking about are the leaders in Jerusalem. And they're trying to comfort their people by saying, judgment is not coming. And they actually call Jerusalem a pot and say to the people that they're the choice meat. And this seems like a strange analogy to us. This doesn't seem like it would be comforting to us at all. After all, if you think of a stew and choice meat in a stew, isn't it being prepared to eat, to be devoured? But that is the sense of which this analogy is really pointing to. What is your response when you smell some beautiful, soothing aroma of some wonderful food that is being prepared? Your mouth salivates. You hunger for it. You long for it. If you're really hungry, you can't wait to bite in, to take a nice big bowl of some wonderful stew. And that is a sense of this analogy. The people in Israel left in Jerusalem were saying that they were a choice stew, in a sense. A fragrant aroma that God breathes in, that He hungers after, that He desires. And they are the choice meat in that stew, succulent meat, that God looks at and desires to have for Himself. Well, God gives them an answer in verse 11 of chapter 11. There He says, "This city will not be a pot for you, nor will you be flesh in the midst of it, but I will judge you to the border of Israel." You see, news had reached the exiles in Babylon. Those left behind, possibly family, friends, were not really concerned with those who had been taken. In fact, they thought that they had deserved to be taken. After all, it was those left in Jerusalem who were the choice meat. They are the ones who were spared. They are the ones whom God loved and cared for. But Ezekiel was telling the exiles in Babylon, that the sins of those remaining will not go unpunished. They will be judged. And God is very clear and says that their judgment is drawing near. And we see in this text that this judgment manifests itself in two ways. And we see this in verses 19 and 20. We see in 19 that they will eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with horror, because their land will be stripped of its fullness on account of the violence of all who live in it. The inhabited cities will be laid waste, and the land will be a desolation. This judgment will be manifested in the land being stripped of its fullness, God says, in the cities being laid waste in destruction. And between these two manifestations of this judgment, we have the reason for it. God says, because or on account of the violence of all who live in it. But how violent were those who live in it? And I'd like you to stay in the book of Ezekiel, but turn to chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 5 to 8. The Lord speaks to Ezekiel in verse 5 of chapter 5. This is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations, with lands around her. But she has rebelled against my ordinances more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the lands which surround her. For they have rejected my ordinances, and have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have more turmoil than the nations which surround you, and have not walked in my statutes, nor observed my ordinances, nor observed the ordinances of the nations which surround you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments among you in the sight of all the nations. The violence, because of the violence of those who inhabited the land of Israel, the Lord says that he will strip the land of its fullness and lay waste the cities. When we think about the nations which surrounded Israel, they were violent nations. There were nations who worshipped false gods. There were nations who, some of them, sacrificed their children to these false gods. And yet here, In verse 6, the Lord says of Israel, more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the lands which surround her. They were acting more wickedly than the nations around them, more wickedly than those who would sacrifice their own children to their false gods, more wickedly than those who would worship wood and stone rather than the living God. In fact, they were behaving so wickedly that in verse 7, God says that you have not walked in my statutes, nor observed my ordinances, nor observed the ordinances of the nations which surround you. Not only were they not obeying God's ordinances, but the wicked nations that surround them could look at the people of Israel and point to them and say, these people, according to our standards, our godless standards, are wicked, violent people. How humiliating it must have been for God, this people that God had saved from Egypt, called long ago, had taken care of for centuries, a people that was supposed to be the bright light shining on the hill, that the nations around them would be drawn to the worship of the true and living God. But instead of that bright shining light on top of a hill, they became a black hole that sucked in all the light around them. So much so that the wicked nations around them could tell that they were evil. You see, God will not let his name go unblemished, I guess you could say. He will fight for the good, his good name. He will preserve His good name. And when you go out amongst your co-workers or fellow classmates, and they know that you're Christians, are they able to tell by your behavior as well as your words that you are a Christian? We now are to be the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world, earth. People are to be drawn to the Lord through His people. And it is a sobering reminder as we read this passage through the violent actions of the people of God and blaspheming His name, the Lord brought this devastating judgment. And it is a warning to us today who are God's people, to you and to me, to be sure that our actions back up our words. To not merely say that we're Christians, but for people that when they find out that we are Christians, they think in their mind, that makes sense. The way this person is living, that makes perfect sense. Because the Lord will not let His name go undefiled. He will preserve His good name and bring judgment or discipline when necessary. In verse 20, the very last sentence of our text today, the Lord simply says, "So you will know that I am the Lord." These judgments were brought upon His people so that they would know that He is the Lord. And this is not the first time that we see this explanation for His judgments. And I'd like you to turn to the book of Exodus. And we'll look at chapter 5. This is Exodus chapter 5. This is where Moses and Aaron have been sent to Pharaoh, and this is where they first go to Pharaoh and implore that he let the people of God go, release them of their slavery, and allow them to worship the Lord in freedom. And this is Pharaoh's response in verse 2. But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And besides, I will not let Israel go." You hear the mocking tone in Pharaoh's voice. Who is the Lord? I do not know the Lord. I will not let His people go. Well, in verse 14, or chapter 14, in verse 4, this is after the plagues. This is after Israel has been let go. And they are standing before the Red Sea. And we'll actually start in verse 1 of chapter 14. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it, by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.' And they did so." See, all of the plagues, the 10 plagues of Egypt, and this final devastating act upon Pharaoh and his army, where they entered the Red Sea to chase after the people of God, and the Lord closed in the waters on top of them, drowning his entire army. These judgments were mighty, and they were an answer to the question that Pharaoh so mockingly proposed: "Who is the Lord?" He mocked, "I do not know the Lord." Well, in chapter 14, verse 4, God says that He brought these judgments upon them. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. He brought him and his army to destruction so that the Egyptians would know that He is in fact the Lord. In this phrase, "know that I am the Lord," it is used 63 times in the book of Ezekiel. 45 are in reference to judgment. 17 are in reference to deliverance, and once it is used in reference to both. And what this shows us, this overwhelming use of this phrase, "You will know that I am the Lord," in reference to judgment, I think points very clearly and shows that the purpose for God's judgment is to very clearly display to nations and to people that He is the Lord. And it's much like when parents discipline their children. And what goes on in the mind of a child when they disobey their parents? They for a moment forget who they are. They forget that it is their parents who make the rules. And it is their parents who have authority over them. They think, "I will do what I want to do. I will set my own way." And then the parents come and they remind them, "No, we are in authority over you. You will obey our rules. God has placed us over you." In the same way, the Lord very clearly reminds those who rebel against Him that He is the Lord. He is the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. He is the Almighty. He is the one alone, the only one who is worthy of praise. He is the only one who is worthy to be worshipped and to be obeyed and honored. And with His people, He brings discipline to correct them, to set them again on the right path, to remind them. To those who openly defy Him, He brings condemnation and judgment. And it is a display to all who see that God is indeed the Lord, Judge of all the earth, who is to be obeyed. But is there a way to escape God's judgment? If Israel of old had turned once again to Him and submitted and sought forgiveness, would God have relented? And the answer is yes. And we see this in Jesus' cry as He looks out over Jerusalem. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have taken you under my wings as a hen hides her chicks, but you would not have me." And what a sad, sad verse as the God of heaven looks out over His people and they despise and reject Him. But it shows us the love that God has for His people, His desire that they would turn and be forgiven. And if we look again at this verse 18, the phrase, "Eat your bread with trembling," I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 127. And we'll read the first two verses. This is a psalm that is attributed to Solomon. And he begins this psalm in verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For He gives to His beloved, even in his sleep." This phrase in verse 2, "to eat the bread of painful labors," is word for word the same phrase in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 18, "to eat your bread with trembling." And the contrast between this psalm and Ezekiel is striking. In Ezekiel, we have the response of those who are in the path of God's impending judgment. They have done and acted wickedly, and they rightly tremble and are in deep anxiety and fear at God's impending judgment. But in Psalm 127, if the Lord builds the house, if the Lord guards the city, in a sense, those who trust in the Lord have put their faith in Him, then verse 2 is true of you. If you have put your faith in Christ as Lord, it is vain for you to eat the bread of painful labors. It is vain for you to eat your bread with trembling. And this last phrase of Psalm 2 could be translated, "For he gives to his beloved sleep." And what a picture of peace that is. He gives to his people sleep. If we're anxious or if we're terrified of something, it is hard for us to sleep. We toss and we turn at night. But the Lord gives to his beloved sleep. It is vain for them to eat the bed of painful labors, because there is no judgment that is the people of God are facing. If you have placed your faith in Christ, you don't have to tremble when you eat your bread. You don't have to be anxious when you drink your water, because the Lord Jesus Christ has already taken God's judgment. And that is the most marvelous work that the Lord has accomplished in our behalf. He came down to earth, took on human flesh, was born of a woman under the law. He obeyed the law perfectly, every letter of it. Then he died the cursed death on the cross. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was spat in the face. And as he hung there on the cross, he drank to the very bottom the full, overflowing cup of God's white-hot wrath, so that you, 2,000 years later, could sit here in the presence of the Almighty, worshiping Him. Every time we go in prayer before God, we should die. He is that holy, and we are, apart from Him, that evil. But through Christ's work, He has opened up the way for His people to approach their Heavenly Father in prayer, to lift up their praises before Him. And He has given His people, He has given you and me the freedom to do that which is pleasing to God. We cannot earn God's favor through our works, but they are given to us to accomplish so that we can delight in the Lord as we delight Him. And so in this text, Ezekiel is reminding those who are already in exile that those in Jerusalem who think they are safe, who think they are the choice people of God, he is reminding them that no, God's judgment is coming. The final blow to Jerusalem is yet to come. And they will be carried off in exile, just as those in Babylon are. But for you today, if you have put your faith in Christ, if you have trusted in Christ as Lord, then this text can be a comfort to you. Because the horrible judgments that were coming upon the land of Israel was a foreshadowing and a foretaste of that ultimate judgment that is yet to come, when all the world will finally know and be forced to acknowledge that God is indeed the Lord, that He is the righteous judge of all the earth. And if you are in Christ today, then you can rejoice as you read this text, because it is vain for you to tremble. It is vain for you to worry, because there is no judgment that is awaiting you. There is only eternal life in the presence of the Almighty for all of eternity. And that is a glorious, wondrous, beautiful thought to think upon, spending all of eternity with our beloved Savior, our God, whom we cannot see physically now, but will one day be able to look upon Him. But for those of you who have not accepted Christ, if there be any here who have not accepted Christ yet, or if you are even unsure, then you must tremble when you eat your bread. You must have anxiety when you drink your water. For there is a judgment waiting you. Anyone who is apart from Christ will be thrown into eternal condemnation? Will they, for all of eternity, will feel the white-hot wrath of God? And so if there is anyone here, I implore you to feel the heat of the flames of hell around you. Hear the crackling of their flames. Smell the smoke, the brimstone of eternal destruction. For you do not know the hour. You do not know the time that has been set for your departure of this world. Only the Lord knows. If you are apart from Christ, that judgment awaits you. And so we all must trust Jesus Christ as Lord. And only then we will have peace. For we will escape His coming wrath. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, and praise You for this day that You have given to us, that we may come together as Your church and worship You, to hear Your word. Lord, we marvel at the work that You have done in our behalf. Lord, the judgment that came upon Jerusalem for their wickedness is a foreshadow and a foretaste of the judgment that is coming, that final judgment, where You will display to the world that You are the Lord, and they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that You indeed are the Almighty. And Lord, we praise You, and we thank You. Words cannot express our gratitude for the work that You have accomplished for Your people through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, our King, who is right now sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, ruling all nations and all peoples. We thank You, Lord, for this precious gift that You have given to us. May we now go forward and may we bring honor and glory to Your name as we walk amongst the world, living as Your people. And may, Lord, Your lost sheep be brought into the fold through our witness. May You use us, and may You build up Your church through us, Lord. And in Jesus' holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen.